runs deep. Your grace is more. The grace is found, is where you are. Where you are, Lord, I am free. Holiness is Christ in me.
Lost or saved, All right, guys, are we ready to go for it here? All right. Well, thank you for staying around and enjoying this time just to fellowship and to celebrate Donna's life. You know, she was a quiet lady. I'm learning that more and more, but we're going to celebrate her because we know that once she entered into the heavenly places, there was an eruption of praise from the angels. And so we're going to do our piece here today just to remember the time that we have had with her. I want to thank you for being here. I want to thank you for taking the time to do this. I love eating with you and fellowshipping with you. And like I said, in honoring saints who I think I'm kind of jealous that are already home. You know, as a pastor, I have thought for quite some time that my job is the best of my ability is to make sure to get the sheep into the barn, to get them all the way there, to get all of us there. And some of us, some have from our midst have already gone, and they're already there. And I'm so grateful because they're at peace forevermore. And so we get to celebrate, not mourn. And so that's exactly what we're going to do. We're going to celebrate Donna today. We're going to talk a little bit about her. We'll have a little bit of a time for you to share something. So if you've got a story or something that you're working on in your mind, put it together because we'd love to hear it. We'd love to get to know her a little bit more through your eyes and through your experiences. One of the reasons we come together for moments like this is because as followers of Jesus, we realize there are messages even in death about eternal life. And it's our great hope because we trust in Jesus and we know that Donna is with him now. And so we smile more than cry because we know she lived a good life, but now the real good life is starting. So let's pray and then we will start today just celebrating. Lord Jesus, we want to thank you for a chance to celebrate Donna together, to be here together. We just praise you, God, for putting her with us. We know the Bible says that you establish the boundaries and the times of every person. And somehow, Lord, you found it fit to establish Donna's time and boundary to cross over into all of our times and boundaries. And you found fit to bring her into this congregation of believers who worship you and who get into your word and who stand on your promises. And we are so grateful, Lord. We're grateful. And we just want to honor her and honor you today. And we just pray, God, for those who are grieving that loss. And I know her card group in particular is grieving the loss, those who are so close in her family and her church family in some ways, but celebrating more. We just pray that you would hold those who are grieving and that your holding them would draw them to you. So we thank you for today. We thank you for the opportunity to bless you and to worship you and to praise you. Because without you, it would only be grief. But because of you, we do not grieve as the world grieves. We know the eternal hope. We love you, Lord, and we thank you, and we lift up this time of praise and worship to you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Well, we want to worship and celebrate. So let's worship together. I'm told that Donna loved the old hymns, and so we want to do some of those today.
Great is thy faithfulness, O God, my Father. There is no shadow. I see all I have needed, I have. God sent his son. They called him Jesus. He came to love, heal and forgive. He lived and died to buy my pardon. An empty grave is there to prove my Savior lives. Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. Because I know.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you that that we can have life because we know that you live. And we just thank you, Lord, that you've given us this opportunity to worship you yet again. And pray that you would be blessed, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
Hello, everyone. My name's Jim, and I'm a brother here at the church, and I've been asked to do the eulogy, and then I have some things I'd like to share about Donna that I was privileged to be acquaintance with such a wonderful person. So Donna Mae Harris, 86, passed away on August 26, 2021, surrounded by family in Battleground, Washington. She was loved for her smile, mischievous giggle, and sparkling eyes. Donna is survived by her 5 children, 11 grandchildren, and 14 great-grandchildren. She came into this world November the 2nd, 1934. As Donna Michaels at her family home in Pine Creek, Washington, to her parents, Solomon Michaels and Daisy Bear Michaels, she attended local schools in Okanogan, Washington. At 17, she married her lifetime love, Gerald Harris, on July 3, 1952. They raised their 5 children, Jerry, Debbie, Terry, Steve, and Bobby, in communities always near the Columbia and Snake Rivers, including Walla. Walla, Kennewick, Calotus, Cascade Locks, Vancouver, and Portland, as Gerald made his career working on the dams. Gerald and Donna spent 60 years together, until Gerald passed away in 2012. Donna took pride in her sharing her cooking with others. She worked in kitchens as a cook most of her life, including at Our Lady of Lourdes Hospital in Pasco, Washington. Around 1987, Donna had achieved a great goal of hers by opening her own restaurant, Frau Hergert's, in Portland, Oregon. She took joy in being a grandmother and a great-grandmother in her late years. Her body has been laid to rest next to her husband, Gerald, in Okanogan Valley Memorial Gardens. I've been also asked to share about Donna. And I'm going to share about the Donna that I knew personally. First, where I met Donna. At the Vintage. The good old Vintage. You know, I was known as maintenance man Jim there. And I lived in unit 101. And I would get knocks on the doors in the middle of the night. Jim, we need help with this. Can you please come and help us with that? And my heart always opened to do the best I could to provide for all of that. But one of the most important things with Donna, that she was known as a gamer at the Vintage, meaning bunco, cards, bingo, and she really enjoyed it, I mean, to the utmost. I mean, you understand that when the ladies and the men get at that age and they're retired and they really are looking for people to hang out with and have friends, when you put an opening out to have those kind of things, you're drawn to that. And to be a bingo caller for ladies and men who, you know, some of them can't hear real well, and to me, to speak loud, they were very privileged to have that, because it wasn't, what was that number? What did you just say? Could you repeat that? But one of the favorite things that I want to share about Donna personally with me and her was a time of tea together, believe it or not. She would call me, Jim, let's have tea together and talk. Let's fellowship. And the Lord says to be still and listen. And believe me, I listened. Because Donna had a lot of things to share, a lot of very, you know, memorial things about her past and her life that aren't even on this papers that were shared. And when touched me, and it changes your own path and you grow through that each day. And, you know, there was an old football player, Rosie Greer, big man, 6'5", 300 pounds. You know what he did in the off season? He needle pointed. A football player, who would think? And, you know, a big man as I am, to be able to sit and have hot tea with a lady, and then she'd pull out the little crimpets and donuts and say, let's just sit in fellowship. I wasn't passing that up ever. No way. So there's a couple of points that I want to point out personally about Donna. Her gentleness, we've shared that a little bit today about how she just was so gentle-spirited. You could always know that if you had one of them days where you needed to be calm, go sit with Donna. You could sit down, and I'm telling you, you'll relax in 5 minutes. You might even fall asleep. So gentleness is defined as mildness combined with tenderness. And in Titus it says, to speak evil of no one, to be peaceable, gentle, and showing all humility to all men, which is all, I mean men and women. And that spirit that she brought, that defines her in Titus. In Timothy, it says, fight the good fight of faith, lay hold of eternal life, to which you were also called and have confessed a good confession in the presence of many witnesses. You know, in her willingness, You know, Donna's health declined some, as we've seen later in life. And she would come on that bus with that walker and come in here and fellowship with Jesus and her brothers and sisters. And you talk about driving somebody. I mean, there was no holding her back. And she had that willingness within her. So it says here in Matthew 16, Jesus says to us, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. And she did that with reckless abandon. And finally, it says that she is willing to conduct herself in the house of God without controversy. That's defined as godliness. And I'll share this, that I've never heard, in all the time that I knew Donna, any negative words of any kind come out of her mouth, even though she struggled with her health, even though just what life threw at her. But she just took it and said, I'm on God's train, and he's the conductor, and I'm sitting on this ride, and I promise you it'll be provided in a way that I'm going to glorify God in all that I got. So that is the Donna that I knew. So that's what I have. And Pastor Rob, thank you.
One thing I've always enjoyed about memorials, believe it or not, is that you get to know things about people as others share that maybe you wouldn't know. And, you know, because we don't all get to have those interpersonal experiences. And so, like I told you in a minute, because I'm a really short speaker, so it'll just be a minute, I'm going to give you a chance to share some accounts too. But I'll just speak from my perspective as being able to have the honor to be Donna's pastor. And as I talk about her, I just want to cover 4 points. And you're like, 4 points? This could be an hour. No, I'm going to make it shorter, I promise. In the 4 points that I want to talk about, though, I want to talk about Donna's quietness, her commitment, her convictions, and her being carried to the King. Those are the 4 things that really stand out to me. And I, like Jim, you know, we have some similar views of Donna and her personality. But the first one that I deal with is her quietness. As we were talking about the way she conducted herself inside the church and the way she would show up, you know, she'd come in and the curtains would part. Donna would roll in, and usually with a family member or a grandkid or somebody, a great grandkid. But what I hear then is out in the lobby before she would even make it in, our greeters would meet her with her cup of hot chocolate just the way she liked it. And so you probably saw there's a hot chocolate bar out there this morning, and she was always so grateful. But other than that, she was quiet. She didn't raise a ruckus. She didn't do any of those things. It's the gentleness in spirit that's never self-aggrandizing. She just shows up to be a worshiper with the other worshipers. And I don't know, maybe in her younger years she was Chatty Cathy. I have no idea. I didn't know her in those younger years. But here she was, just had that gentleness of spirit, a quietness about her. Number two that I want to talk about is committed. Hebrews 10, 24 through 25 says, and let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhort one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching. You know, I went back and I was thinking about the Babylonian captivity, and I know you think about that a lot. That's something I was thinking about. At first, many of the people, when they were taken into the captivity, they longed to go back to Israel. That was their heart. I just want to go back. We want to go back. One day again, we'll be back in the land. But over time, what happened was they got comfortable not being in their land. And they even got to the point where they started receiving the things that they were getting in Babylon that were luxurious. And they said, I don't know, kind of like these things. And when the Persian king then finally allowed them to return after the Babylonian Empire, what we hear is that very few went back. They had an open door to return and to go back to the land that God had given them supernaturally. And what we understand is that God has supernaturally given us a church body. He's given us fellowships. He's given us the ability to come together and to worship him. But so many have chosen not to come back to assemble after our COVID captivity. It wasn't the Babylonian captivity, it was the COVID captivity. And it just wasn't important enough for some to come. And I realize some had health issues that they couldn't do it, but many, it wasn't a pressing desire in their heart. It's like they became comfortable and complacent. Not Donna. No, that was not going to happen. Donna worked hard to get here. You know, her mobility did become an issue. These were issues to get up and to get ready and to be the church, but she was so committed. And she did wrangle and work with her family to get them here each Sunday. It wasn't an easy deal, but she was absolutely committed to worshiping the Lord side by side with his people. That's encouragement. And we talk about stirring up each other. I can tell you, every time the curtains did part, and Donna would come through and the other ladies would come through, every time it encourages my heart. Every single time. And as she would sing and worship, or let's face it, sleep occasionally, because I am long-winded. Did I mention that part? I'd rather sleep with a congregation of God's people than sleep at home. Sleep in the praises of the King and his presence moving in this place. It was glorious. And her commitment to bring herself here and her family here to do it stands out. The third is her convictions. I like what Josh McDowell said. He said it really well. Having convictions can be defined as being so thoroughly convinced that Christ and his word are both objectively true and relationally meaningful that you act on your beliefs regardless of the consequences. And now that brought me to this thought of Daniel. Daniel, you know, that young boy in this Babylonian captivity, he was in a position where his convictions were challenged regularly. They were threatened. There were tests that he would go through. And as believers, we go through those as followers of Christ. Those convictions are true. And sadly, too often, there are compromises in order to appease people rather than God. Sometimes appeasement is based on families who don't hold our same convictions or who see things different. They don't see God's word as sacred or authoritative. And other times, it can come from culture, institutions, or even government. But like Daniel, even in the consequence of standing on God's word, it means we could lose all in this world when we do stand. I was thinking about another guy, Polycarp. Polycarp was a bishop of Smyrna, and he had come to the point where he was going to be persecuted. He was going to die, martyred for his faith. And they said to him, if you'll just announce Christ, you'll live. And he had this great saying. He said, 86 years I've served him, and he's done me no wrong. How can I blaspheme my King and my Savior? And when I think about Donna and I hear some of the difficulties, what I realized that there was a conviction that she stood on that was stronger than any other conviction, and the conviction that Jesus Christ was King. And for Donna, that meant some difficulties in this world, even for those who were dear to her, some relational complications because she wasn't going to move off that boundary because, like so many of you, she knew there was only one hope for eternal salvation. She knew there was only one person who loved her from the beginning, who knit her in her mother's womb, who determined her destiny, who determined her ultimate destiny. She knew that, and she would not move from one point to another. She stood in her convictions. And it's coming to Jesus Christ and belonging to him and recognizing his deity that matters, and she did. And then finally, that last piece of John 11:25, Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life, I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live even though they die. And you heard her eulogy today, you know, the basic history, the dash between the two dates. You got all that part, right? I certainly did, and we heard Donna's body is laid next to her husband Gerald's body in Okanagan, Washington. We heard that piece. We got it today. But that's not really the rest of the story. Ecclesiastes 12:7 says, the dust returns to the ground it came from, and the spirit returns to God who gave it. And that's where we're at, meaning we know that neither one of them, Gerald or Donna, they're not in the ground anymore. The body, the dust, is there for a time, but they immediately are not in that place. And that's glorious. That's why we smile and we worship. We realize the tents are put away for a time, but the persons are out of the fallen world and into the presence of Jesus. Long before their bodies or anybody else's body who believes in Jesus Christ turns to dust or even makes it into the ground or wherever it will rest for a period of time, those of us who love them are long before that are with Jesus, because our last breath here is our first breath there. And we know that truth, and so that's why we delight. The soul is everything that we are. It's our memories, it's our character, it's our personhood. We know that. And being alive in Jesus on the day we received him, it will never be more alive than when we're directly standing in his presence. When we're staring at, I still try to figure that out. Here, and like waking up from a dream and Jesus is there. You go, whoa, that's the deal. That's where she's at, alive more than ever. And the minute Donna breathed her last breath, she was there because of her faith in her deliverer. Philippians 3:21 says, or it tells us, the power that enables him to bring everything under his control will transform our lowly bodies so that we will be like his glorious body. And what it tells us is that even though both her and Gerald are in the presence of Jesus, their souls are there and their tents are in the ground, it won't stay that way forever. There's a day when he'll call those bodies back and he's going to change them forever, perfect them, glorify them. And they will be in them, and one day we will be in our glorified bodies, and it means that our relationship with Donna and those who've gone before us is not over. It's not over. We will walk and live together, and we will enjoy each other in eternity. We will be together again because of Jesus Christ. Amen. Isn't that glorious? This is what we know. This is why we celebrate. This is why we have celebrations of life. Because we can celebrate the fact that although that curtain won't part for Donna again, there was a greater one that parted the minute she left here. Amen. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we want to thank you as we jump back into a time just to worship you. It kind of transports us back as we think about the songs that of Donna's generation too, and the writers who wrote them, the same ones who believed in the same God that we do today, that worshiped you, that stood on your truths, that declared them, that others might hear them and know them and come into salvation. And so, Lord, we just want to thank you. We want to praise you. We want to worship you, that we know that Donna is in your care and she will forevermore be in your care. She will forevermore be in that place with you. And we can't wait till we're all in that place with you, Lord. We know the time is coming, and we thank you for your promises in Jesus' name. Amen.
All right, well, we want to enter into another time of worship, and we're going to continue with a couple of these hymns that Donna loved. It Is Well With My Soul.
When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot has taught me to say, it is well with my soul. It is well with my soul. It is well with my soul. Though Satan should buffet, though trial should come, let this blessed assurance come. Yeah.
Watching and waiting.
This is my story. This is my song. Praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story. This is my
to open it up now. If anybody would like to say something or share a few words about Donna, Mario has a microphone back there. Just get his attention there, and if you'd like to share.
Hi. I just wanted to say that I was surprised to hear Jim talk about how chatty Kathy Donna was, because she was always pretty quiet. The one thing I really remember about Donna, I'll never forget, is the day she walked in with pink hair. Do you guys remember that? Yeah, that was our Donna. And she wanted to be in that front row. And sometimes it would be a little inconvenient to put her in the front row, but she made it into that front row.
Hi, my name is Cheryl. When we had that lockdown come down on us, we had been playing cards in the social room at the Vintage every day. I mean, we played something every day. And suddenly we weren't allowed to be congregating in the social room anymore. So we just went down to Donna's apartment. And we would meet there about 1 o'clock in the afternoon, and sometimes we'd have lunch together, but then we would play cards until about dinner time, and then I would cook dinner in Donna's kitchen. And then there was another lady there who would clean up, and we just had that wonderful fellowship together. She always wanted to open up her apartment for us so that we could be together and we didn't have to miss our card games. So it was just so sad to see her health decline and her memory starting to go, and we just knew that she wasn't going to be very long before she would be with the Lord. So we all were able to go visit her one last time just a few days before she passed, and we all just told her how much we loved her, and she loved us, and she was real bright and alert that day. So that was just such a blessing for us to be able to say goodbye to Donna.
So I met Donna when we were at Salmon Creek Elementary, and she was new, coming with the Vintage bus, and the ladies had centered towards Brenda because Donna had a request. She wanted to figure out how she could get her great-grandchildren to church, and she just wanted somebody to brainstorm with her and pray with her and do whatever we could. So we worked on that, and we tried that, and she, you know, eventually got the granddaughters where I believe their father would bring them to her house and spend Saturday night, and they would come to church in the Vintage bus with all the senior citizens. And they were just part of that group, and she was so happy to have them in church and learning at Sunday school. My next recollection of Donna, besides seeing her every Sunday, was when the lockdowns occurred and the church decided that we would kind of split up the congregation into teams, and Donna was someone assigned to me. And so I already had her number. We'd talked before, so I would call her thinking that I was visiting with the little old lady locked in her apartment and not having any friends. how many times did I interrupt her card party? Because I'm like, what's going on? And she's like, oh, the ladies are over. We're just playing cards. And I'm like, okay, is there a better time to call you? And she had told me, you can call me at 11 o'clock. So I would try and call her at 11 o'clock once a week because that was late enough because she liked to sleep in like me and early enough where the girls hadn't shown up yet for lunch. But Donna made, like Rob and others have said, a real effort to continue to be part of the church. She no longer could live at the Vintage independently, and her family kindly moved her in with her granddaughter, and she just rolled with it. She was okay. She never complained that she'd been, you know, moved up. She was happy to be with her granddaughter and that the family was taking care of her. They made efforts to get her to church, but when we would talk, she always wanted to talk about her family and pray about them and pray for their understanding of who Jesus is. And some of them she know the Lord, and some of them she wasn't too sure. And so we would just pray for those folks. And she loved her family, and she wanted everybody to know her Jesus.
I just wanted to say that coming to the last two memorials, I am worried about the Vintage people. They've got a little bit of card game going on there. But I absolutely adored Donna because of one thing. She made a caterpillar bloom into a butterfly. I have a very near and dear, I call her my daughter. She was uncomfortable being a server or being the face of hospitality, being the face of freedom. But she connected with Donna. She found out what Donna's favorite drink was, the hot chocolate with a little bit of vanilla there. And Donna was her mission partner. She was the one that helped this person open up and become, own her position. And I just love that. I love that about Donna. And because of that, it made me get to know Donna a little better. And I'm with Pastor Rob on this one. I have always thought coming to somebody's memorial and you think you know them so well and you think you've got them down, and then you hear something surprising about how they like to go out and do mud races or how they're, I'm thinking of someone else right now, but no, I'm just thinking, wow, that is not the person I know. But then I look back on my history and there's a lot of things we don't know. So as part of that, letting Donna's legacy kind of move on and on and on, just like the way she helped this friend of mine, I encourage everyone on Donna's behalf to get to know those people that you just know by saying hi and find out one interesting thing about them on Donna's behalf. And I think that she'd really like that.
I guess I'm closer. I did not know Donna, but I had the honor of making these cards, and she kind of reminded me so much of my mom in many ways, and just I could just see the joy in her heart. But I was out driving on a long road trip yesterday, and just out of the blue, I felt her presence. And I'm like, Donna? What's that about? And then I realized I had been carrying her picture, the picture up front there. I'd been carrying that around in my car since Friday. And I felt her presence with me, and I just had a conversation with her, not even knowing who she was, but was just honored to feel that and have conversation with her, so. I bless her and her family.
One more.
I know, shock, I'm going to talk right. So I have such a great memory of Donna. Those of you who don't know, I work for FEMA, and before COVID, I was deployed a lot, working in disasters and fires, and I would come home like one weekend a month. And so we're in Salmon Creek, and I remember when Donna, I had this is the first day I even saw Donna. I remember walking into the church had started, and they were doing the meet and greet, and Donna was sitting on the end, and I walked in, and she literally stood up and grabbed me and kissed me on both my cheeks and hugged me, and I was like, I didn't even know who this lady was. And I thought, does she think I'm somebody else, like her son or her grandson or something? And she was just so, but it blessed me so much because I was gone, you know, and I had missed my family, I missed my church family, and I was just on the road so much. And it just made me feel so loved. And there's that saying, I don't know who said this, some author, that people don't remember what you do, but they remember how they made you feel. And so she made me feel very loved. And so I always cherished that about her, and I would see her, and even now I look at her picture and I smile because she was just gave me such a warm greeting that day. And I told my wife about it that day too. I said, who is that lady? And she goes, oh, that's Donna. She probably knows you're my husband because my wife knows all the women, but I don't know them all. But anyways, it was just so special. And so I wanted to share that about her, that she was just very full of God's spirit and just very loving.
Brenda is naughty. What I wanted to say about that was my husband did tell me that because it was a really difficult time for our family. And that was a God thing that she grabbed him and kissed him on both cheeks. He didn't mention this, but that means a lot to him because of his Dutch cultures. That's what his aunties do every time they see him. And it's rare that we see them, but they kiss him on both cheeks, and that always makes him feel loved. So I'm inviting you to all kiss my husband on both cheeks.
Donna's memory.
Can you hear? Yeah. Now you know why I don't do open mics very often. Hey, in all honesty, I'm so grateful for your story. Thank you for sharing. Thanks for letting each one of us see a little bit more of who Donna is, not was, because she still is. And I just want to thank you for being here and celebrating her life together. I don't know if there's somebody watching because we're doing this online who doesn't know Jesus, but I think it'd be a real miss if I didn't give you an opportunity to understand that the same Savior and King that was hers can be yours by simply saying, Jesus, I've blown it. I want to come to you. You're God. You love me. I receive you for who you are, and you'll be saved today. So that when this day comes, because it comes for all of us, if not raptured, people will be able to sit around in a gathering like this and celebrate your life instead of having a memorial. Because we know eternal life is in Jesus only. Amen. I want to thank you for being here. Thank you for celebrating. Thanks for making me laugh. I'm really waiting to see who's going to run up and kiss Jan now, but let's pray, and then we'll go and continue walking with the Lord. Lord Jesus, thank you for the joy of the Lord, which is our strength. To walk in your joy, to see it, to see you filled with joy in the presence of your children. Wow, what a great place to be. Lord, we want to thank you for Donna. We want to thank you for the memories. We want to thank you for the reality of eternal life, for the promise of reunion. We just want to thank you, Lord. We want to give you all the blessing and praise and honor and glory. It all belongs to you for all that you've done for us. And so we thank you now in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. Have a wonderful day in him.